Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. The first Sabbath after the feast was just, we finished the feast on Thursday, and then there was Friday, and then there was Sabbath. And after all my traveling, I just exhausted at home. So we didn't have any services last week. So for us, this is the first Sabbath after the feast. And had a real good feast. I left the day before Atonement, and I figured out where to park my car this year. So Dolores said, "Fred, where are you going to park your car?" And I said, "Where I can find it." So I had to fly out Delta because they have a nonstop flight. Plus, for all the first half of my travel from San Francisco down to Orlando, Florida, I went on Delta. And I used all my travel points, and it cost me $37 in fees. That was it. And I went first class all the way. But since I was coming back on American Airlines, see, I remembered, change airline, make sure you come into the same airport, see. So when I got up to San Francisco, I said, okay, I don't know where American Airlines is, but I know where to park for Delta. So I drove from there, and guess what? It was just the next terminal over. So I went up there and parked the car, unloaded everything, walked back to the Delta thing, terminal, took the elevator down, went on over, took the elevator up, checked in, got frisked from head to toe. And
did they find anything?
Yeah, no, they didn't find anything. Didn't find anything. Only on one stop, one of the X-ray readers, you know, he couldn't figure out what the microphone was, so he had to take it out and look at it. You know, it's got a battery in there, so maybe this is a stick of dynamite. You know, you never know what it is. But anyway, when I was in Australia, and boy, that was 1995. I can't believe that was that long ago. But I had my microphone, and I had this stand. And so, boy, when I was getting on the plane to leave Melbourne and fly over to Perth, and of course, that's like flying clear across the United States. So the checker there didn't know what this is. They actually thought that combined with this and this, that I must have some kind of assassination rifle that I could quickly set up. So I assured him it was harmless. So, so anyway, I got through the check-in, flew over to Cincinnati. Actually, when you go to Cincinnati, Ohio, it's actually Kentucky, because that's where the greater Cincinnati airport is, just across the river. So we couldn't get into the Hilton Hotel where we normally meet, so I called the Holiday Inn and made arrangements there. Lo and behold, it's only 3 minutes from the airport, and that turned out to be really good. So we had 78 people there for Day of Atonement, which was really good. And everywhere I went, we had new brethren from other churches for various reasons coming, and we had new people from church at home. Every place I went, I had someone come up and say, "I'm here because of church at home." So let's hope it keeps going that way. But we also had an increase in attendance wherever I went. Now, I don't know if that, I don't think it was for me, because they were there before I got there. Okay? So had a real good service there. And of course, wherever I go, I have my air mattress. And even though they have a bed that looks like it's going to be comfortable, they don't. So what I have to do with my air mattress is I have it all folded up, and I've got one of these electric blowers, see? Okay. And every once in a while, they got to check that out. What, you know, what is this thing? See, you know, is. But before I had that, I had a hand pump. Okay. And the first time I went to Aunt Kate's, I stayed at his house, and so he had this bedroom where I was gonna sleep, and it was a fold out sofa bed. You know how those are, you know. You come on, the Hunchback of Notre Dame in the morning, you know. So it was about 10:30 going to bed. And when I used the hand pipe, go, whoo, 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 like that. So here I am in this room, and Ants is down the hall there, you know, in the front room, and he hears this, whoo, whoo, whoo. And he tiptoes down the hall to try and find out what is going on. And I go, whoo, whoo, whoo. So I stop, wait for him to go back. So he goes back. Then I start again, whoo, 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 pumping that thing. And then one time, wow, oh, this was hilarious. The plane flight was canceled. The luggage was on the plane. They had to take it off the plane. And they got all my luggage except the one with the hand pump. And so the airlines put us up in this hotel where they had beds like this. You know, most hotels are in conspiracy with chiropractors. Yeah. So here I am, 1 o'clock in the morning, no hand pump. So I'm lying down on the floor, blowing it up. And about halfway through, it got to me, and I just started laughing, and I could hardly quit laughing. This is so hilarious. Oh, it was. So I finally got that and got up the next day and got the plane and got out from there. But anyway, so when I make the bed, I have to pull the mattress out from back on the wall. I have to take everything off, take off the pad, the lower sheet, you know. Now it's easy to blow it up. I just get that electric one going until it's ready, and then just plug it up and put it up there. And then I cover it with the sheet and the pad, and then the sheet that goes over that, I have to have that. And then the blankets, I have that. And so when the bed is, you know, lower than this table, it's a pretty easy thing to get on. But I had one, they had the bed was about this high. So I put my air mattress on it, and it's this high. So I have to be like a high jumper, you know, that jumps over the bar backwards. So I get a good, and rip, get up there, and grab the edge of the air mattress, and get up and pull myself up, squirm around, you know, get the pillow fixed, get the sheet fixed, get everything ready. And I sleep on my right side, so I flop over on my right side, and I'm ready to go to sleep. Okay. Well, when I left on Sunday morning, I was going from Cincinnati over to South Bend. Now, direct, that's 45 minutes. And every year, they had a flight direct from Cincinnati over there, so when I was making the arrangements, I tried to see if I could get a flight direct. They don't have any more direct. So I got on the plane, flew to Detroit, 1 hour and 15 minutes, flew back to South Bend, 1 hour and 15 minutes, and with 30 minutes between connections. So I got off of this one plane, zoomed all the way down, clear down the other end, to get on the other plane. So then I finally got into South Bend, and Joe Chikar and his wife Betty met me, and then after I got everything put away, we went out to meet this woman who used to hear the world tomorrow and all that sort of thing years and years ago. Well, she was in a really very difficult situation, okay? So this woman, though her health was really, really bad, got in touch with us through Church at Home on her smartphone. She could download Church at Home and cbcg.org and get a clear picture. I was amazed. So because of her health condition, we prayed for her, and then I gave her some assistance to help her through some of her difficulties that she's going through. Then we had, then the next 2 days, I visited with Ron and Aaron Carey. There are webmasters back in what is that? Eau Claire, Michigan. And every year we talk about how we can make the website better, easier to use, what things we need to change, what things we need to get into, how we can get more people coming. So what we did last year, they put that in effect, and we have had a 30% increase in those coming to cbcg.org. Now, some of that is from Church at Home. Okay. Now, we have on Church at Home, we have almost 200 that we have online of the half-hour segments, and I've done 200, and after I get done again this week, it'll be 28. So we're making progress with that. Having very good results. Randy Ville does a great work in editing, and it comes out very professional, and it takes 13 hours to edit one half-hour program. And that's when he's really working hard with it all the way through. So he does 3 a week. So anyway, we thought of some other things we need to do. And also, one of the things was suggested a portal entrance to our websites, only entitled the portal entrance website, and just update that, say, maybe once a week with some things. Just keep it a one-page thing, okay? Talk about what we have, and then we will have a click through to CBCG, Church at Home, Si Habla Español, and the church videos. So we'll have all of those combined all together with those this year. We will be pretty close to 700,000 people that are using and visiting the websites. And just had someone right close at hand said, "Oh, I just found your website. Where can I go to church?" See, most people in the world think, well, when you find something you like with the church, you go to church right away. Well, we have to get them trained. That's why we have Church at Home. You know, stay home and learn some things first. That'll help you a great deal. So that went real well. And this week, Randy and Aaron are working on updating the home page. You know, people are used to things new. So you've got to update. You've got to make it easier. You've got to make it so that they can navigate through the website. And how they can do that then depends on how long they stay and also. So then after that, I drove down to Shipshewana, and we had services then Wednesday night and double services on the first holy day. And I had to get back to catch a plane at 5 o'clock. So I had to get done right at 3 o'clock, which I did. I got out of there at 3:06. Had to make my way out to the toll highway, drive down to South Bend, and at the turnoff, it was 4 o'clock. So I had a whole hour before my plane was to leave. But I turned off, and guess what I got into? A big traffic jam because of the huge wreck up ahead. So I went up a little bit, moved over to the next lane, made a left turn, made a U-turn there, and had to go back through town, back up the other way, come into the airport. By the time I got to the airport, it was 5:20, and here's the airport here, and here's where you park the rental car. So I pulled right up here, unloaded all my luggage, and it was raining. So I went out and parked the car, came back, got the luggage and everything all ready to go. Thank goodness they had automatic open doors. So I went through there, and I had to go through so fast that I only marked the mileage down on the car and gave them the keys to it. I didn't have time to get gas, and I had to go way down to the Delta counter. And so I got there, and it was like about 12 minutes before, and the plane's going to leave at 5. And so someone let me up front, and I got a trainee clerk. And he couldn't figure out, because you see, you have to have 20 minutes. At 20 minutes before the flight, they cut off giving the claim tags for the luggage. So supervisor came out, showed him how to do it. So I got it on there. And by that time, it was like about, 9 minutes before 5 o'clock, I had to run down to the TSA, get frisked from head to toe, and I always tease the guy who does the frisking. I said, I've been through this so many times, I could teach your new recruits, So I said, where's the plane for Atlanta? And they said, A1, where's that? Go down and take a left turn. So here I'm huffing and puffing and really going, because the plane's going to leave at 5. And they don't say, oh, we're kind and good, we'll hold the plane for you, see. So I get up there, and here's this new section that they built for the terminal. And he said, turn left. Well, I turn left, and there's 4, 5, and 6. So I said, where's A1? No answer. I said, where's the gate to go to Atlanta? And it turned out to be gate 5. So I was right there at gate 5, got on, sweating and things like that, just barely made it. And the clerk said, well, I don't know if we can get your luggage on or not. And I thought to myself, ooh, that'll be interesting. So anyway, I got on the plane at 5, and to make a long story short, they did get my luggage on. So flew the plane to Atlanta, and then I laid over an hour and a half, went on down to Orlando. Nolan and Faye Joseph picked me up at the airport, and was about a 40-minute drive. And their daughter was supposed to meet us because they had something to bring. And she's lost. So here, they're on the cell phone. Where are you? I don't know. I hope I'm heading in the right direction. So here, we're heading down the road toward the hotel, the Embassy Suite, and Faye is driving, and Nolan's in the back seat, and he looks out, and he says, there she is. There she is right there. So roll down the window. Ooh, got her attention, got into the hotel. And by the time I got up there and got to my room and tested out my hard bed, I had to use the air mattress again. So here at 11:45, I'm tearing the bed apart, blowing up my air mattress, and it was one of these high beds, so I had to make the leap to get on the bed. And so I slept in till about 8. I got a decent amount of sleep because services were at 11 o'clock. We had great services there. Oh, by the way, in Shipshewana, we had 104, which was a good increase over last year. In Orlando, we had, counting all the kids, 117. And God is sending younger people. And so while those of us gray hairs are marching toward the place of safety, God is going to add some that will fill in the gaps after we go. So we had double services there, 117 counting the children, and that was really good. Everywhere we went, we had a good meal, turned out great. And so then I stayed over that night in Orlando. But my plane left the next morning at 6:20, so I had to get up at 4 o'clock. So here I get up at 4 o'clock, tear down my air mattress, fold it all up, put it in, I have a little bag that it goes into, put it into my suitcase, put in my electric pump, pack everything all up, get everything ready, and out the door at, what was it? I think it was like about 5:40, and so then Faye and Nolan were there, and we drove down to the airport, got there in time. The airport in Orlando, you got to walk. Plus, you have to take a tram, one of these looks like a subway car, only short. And it was designed by Walt Disney, the whole airport. So anyway, got out there. Everything was fine. Plane was on time and flew direct to Dallas-Fort Worth, and Dwayne Timmons was there to meet me, and we had services over in Fort Worth, and that was like about 45 minutes away. But plane got there on time, He picked me up at 10. Services were at 11, so we got there. Quickly shook hands with a lot of brethren and got everything set up, and then we had double services there. Really nice group. We had 64 there. And that night I stayed over again. So we went out, all of us went out and had some dinner. Gilivaldo Elizondo and his wife and family, they went out to dinner with us, with Timmons and one other couple. And so that turned out really good. Went back, got to bed about 9:30, had to get up at 4 o'clock again because my plane left at 6:40. And we had to make the drive in. Well, this was Sunday morning. We didn't have any traffic problems. So got there because I was going to Tulsa. And so Tulsa is only a 40-minute flight. So the plane, I had to get there early. No, it was 7:20. Had to get there early, go through all the pat-down, go through everything, get checked on. So everything went smoothly. The plane got there, Jim McCollum met me at the airport. So in order to get back here for the fifth day, what I did was I got in, since it was 7:20, it left Dallas, it got in at 8:20, so I scheduled to go out at 5:20. So that meant I had to leave services at about 5 minutes to 4. But we had good attendance there. We had 65, had a nice meal, had a baptism. Everything went really good. So Jim McCollum comes, load up the car, everything's fine. Get out to the airport, check in, they give me my tickets. I run up to the terminal and the gate to check in, and I look up, see if the plane is on time. 7:30. Now, see, I had to catch the 5:20 in order to get a 7:20 in Dallas to get back here at 9:40. So that way, I was supposed to be home by about 11, so I could get up and go to services on the fifth day and bring the sermon here in Gilroy. Well, the plane was on the ground in Dallas-Fort Worth at 6 o'clock, and there was no way to get out that night. So I went down, had a very good clerk there. She was very kind, very nice, got everything lined up, got me on a plane in the morning coming out, but I couldn't make it to get for services. So what she did, she put me up at a motel just down the road from the airport, and I got in there like about 7:15, so I went and got something to eat, came back to my room, tore down the bed, blew up my air mattress, went through the routine, you know, had the air conditioning on, you know, lower it to 37 degrees, so I'm cool, you know. But I had to catch an early plane again, so I had to get up at 4 o'clock again. But everything went fine. Plane was on time. I made it up to San Francisco in time, but not for services. I made it so I came in just as services were ending. And so they had to use the video for that day. And here, we expected 22 here, and we had over 30, and the last day we had 39. So we filled up the whole place, and that worked out really good. So that's why we didn't have services last Sabbath, because when I got home, I was really exhausted. So when got back, got rested up, took me all week to get rested up, and then not quite, because Thursday I felt pretty good, so did some church at home videos. And so anyway, had a great feast. The brethren were really happy, and we did the last great day by singing "The Almighty God to Open and the Almighty God to Close." And someone along the trip said they really liked that hymn because that is a 5-minute encapsulation of the plan of God. So if you think about it, okay? So we'll see what happens next year if we keep going the way that we are. And let me just mention this concerning those on the mailing list. When we first started Christian Biblical Church of God, we had three on the mailing list, one of whom was Joe Chikar, okay? And we had seven brethren plus our family. That was it. Because of all the things that had transpired in the church and all of the, you know, all of the struggles and stress and intrigue and sin and corruption and things like that, all that we went through, because that was a repeat of things, with the seven people, what I did, I just said, God, if you want me to see these seven brethren safely into the grave, that's what I will do. I'm not going to try any radio. I'm not going to. I even gave up writing because I couldn't write. So I finally got a job as a loan officer, and then I finally got a loan broker's license, and I did loan brokering, and I got a real estate license, and that helped improve the loans. And then I had a Century 21 real estate office for about a year and a half, and that was a difficult proposition. So God blessed me in being able to sell it to someone else. And so 1 year, I think it was 1988. Normally, we had our family and the seven brethren for Feast of Tabernacles, and we had a nice place up in Twain Heart. Now, that's a great place for a feast. Terrific. But that's a hard place to get to. You know, that place to an airport down to Sacramento would be the closest one, would be an hour and a half just to Sacramento. And if you went on and went out of San Francisco, that'd be another hour and a half minimum. So in those days, didn't travel. So in 1988, two families, total of 12, came. And so here we doubled our attendance for the Feast of Tabernacles. That turned out really, really great. And so we were happy about that. But had no intention of going out and trying to build a work, because too many people say, oh, God, this is your work. You got to bless it. No. We just let God add to it as we went down through the years. And I got my nose into the Greek and translating things like that, and I've mentioned that at other times concerning the New Testament, and now we have the Bible, and we're happy to have that as well. So right now in the United States, we have 2,500 on our mailing list. In Canada, we have 250. In Australia, we have about 190. South Africa, we have 40. United Kingdom, we have about 40. New Zealand, we have about the same amount. We do have some other contacts in the Ukraine and Ethiopia and Malaysia. There are some others that write to us for things from different countries. But what we have done now, if they contact us through the website, we send a digital copy of the Bible and a digital copy of any book that they want, and it's just PDF. They can't change it. If they want it, they can download it and use it, because to send a Bible costs anywhere between $80 and $120 to ship overseas. So that's too inefficient, and by the time you start that in some of these poorer countries, man, you send one Bible and you get 100 requests. You know, and we're not of the capacity to be able to handle that. So this works very, very well. So we're just looking to God to bless us, to help us now find ways to make it possible to have a greater presence on the internet so that more people can use what we have on the internet. We've got hundreds of sermons, all kinds of downloadable literature. We've got all of the books and a good supply. I've tried this year to get all the books published because we don't know what the financial situation in the world is going to be. You know, look like doomsday was just around the corner because of the European situation. Well, they got that solved because they had 50% haircut on the bonds for Greece. That means the ones who bought them at 100% took a 50% loss. So everybody's happy. got the debt problem in Europe solved. No, it's not paid off. In America, we have the debt problem solved. No, we're going to be 100% GDP. In other words, we have $14 trillion debt. That's not counting all unfunded liabilities. And we have, what is it, $12 trillion coming in? Yeah, about $12 trillion, somewhere around there. So it's hard, and you don't know when these things are going to be. So what I've tried to do is, in case there is inflation, we've got as many books and Bibles as we can at a lower price. If there's depression and everything falls out, we have them paid for. So we can still go along regardless of what happens. Because if you have a depression, it's gonna hit like a hydrogen bomb. It's going to be real something. And if you think 9% of unemployment is bad, or the unofficial 16%, or the 25% in the youth black communities and Latino communities, you haven't seen anything. If there is a total depression worldwide, and we're always just kind of teetering on that, you know, we don't want to be caught shorthanded and don't want to be caught, so there's nothing that we can do. So this is why I've been doing this all year. Okay, just want to comment a little bit about health and healing here. There was one woman, Jim, because of your research, because of your situation overcoming cancer, and you've been at it going over 4 years now, and you're a survivor, and we're thankful for that, and you've had our prayers every day. She came up and said, tell Jim thank you for the material that he sent, because she's cancer-free. There's another couple, both had intestinal cancer, had operations. Those were successful, decided to go with the dietary things, and they have been cancer-free for 2 years. Had another woman tell us about the same thing. Okay, so the things that we need to understand is this. Cancer is going to be one of the terrible things that's going to come along. Now, every individual, because we don't know, what if Obama gets elected and Obamacare goes through? All of us are going to have to take care of ourselves. If you're online, you go online, you study all the natural things, you know what your body is, you know how strong you are, you know your weaknesses and your sicknesses, and find out as many of the natural remedies that you can, because nobody is going to receive any decent care. And if you're 78 or over, and that's statistically when 80% of all of your medical bills are paid in the last 2 years, 78 to 80 on the average, and so the death panels for Obamacare will deny you the care that you would have at that age. So there are good doctors, there are good chiropractors, there are good naturopaths, there are good homeopaths. All of them have pluses and minuses. Okay? Understand that. There are bad doctors, bad surgeons, as Dolores' brother knows, messed up his leg where he hasn't been able to walk now for, what, a year and a half, somewhere around there. 3 years, going on 3 years now, see? So let me just say this. We need to take care of ourselves. God will bless us in that. We need not go along until there is a sudden, urgent, death threat health need, and then expect God to give us a miracle. See, because we have enough knowledge, we have enough information, we've got to take care of ourselves. What are you going to do when the doctor says, because they're cutting out, you know, Medicare, okay? On my health plan, I have Medicare, all right? What are we going to do when the doctor says, no more Medicare? Well, how much are you going to charge? $200 a visit. You got the money? See? Whatever it's going to be. So I've experienced good surgeons, did a great job on this hip, experienced a very bad surgeon, had to have this one redone when I had my artificial hips. I've experienced good chiropractors, bad chiropractors. I remember I got my back out when we were on Lover's Lane, and I went over to a chiropractor in Monterey, and he did an x-ray and did a little dipsy-doo, and says, come back in 3 days. And I felt exactly the same. And that was right after we had just moved up from Pasadena, and we had a good chiropractor down in Pasadena, Dr. Jacobson. So I got in the car, bad back and all, drove all the way down to Pasadena, one session, got my back in. Good chiropractor. Okay. See. So physicians can do a lot to help. They can do some great things to help you if they know what they're doing. Likewise with any one of the other practitioners. See. But we've got to watch our diet. We have to take care of ourselves, get our exercise and all that sort of thing. And I'll tell you one secret. God is not going to do that for you. And neither will anyone else exercise for you. You know, they're out there on the treadmill while you're sitting there in a chair. What are you doing? I'm exercising. See, it won't work that way. Okay. Well, we had a very, very good feast. And so I just wanted to bring you up to date on those. Also have some other feast news next week as it comes in. But that tells you where we are right now. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.